Well, reports say more U.S. military forces could be sent to the Middle East. The president's national security team holding discussions on the topic this week after last week's attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman, which, of course, the administration blames on the Iranians, although the Europeans are not so sure. They're saying, show us more evidence. I guess the exception is the United Kingdom, which is fairly persuaded, but not the others. Anyway, let's go live to Europe, to France, in fact. Middle East expert Dr. Hussein Askari, professor emeritus of international business and international affairs at the George Washington University, founder of Islamicity Indices, and joins us from France. Many, many books and articles and papers to his credit. Your thoughts on this, whether it represents an escalation that will lead, frankly, bluntly, to conflict. What do you think?
Well, Alan, I don't think anyone can really give us 100% proof that Iran was behind this. You can doctor photos, you can show photos. It doesn't show that Iranians put it there. The mines, maybe the Saudis put it there. Even maybe the United States or the Israelis may have done it. So there's never going to be positive proof. I think that the whole issue with Iran, this escalation, does not make any sense. I mean, I cannot understand what has Iran done recently that should bring this about. So,
well, of course, cynics say that President Trump will do or try to undo whatever President Obama did. So, because he concluded the Iran deal, it was the president's intent, backed by many of the hawks in Washington, precisely to undo the deal without an alternative. Others will say, well, no, Iran does pose an existential threat to the Saudis, the Israelis, and others in the Middle East, although they pose a threat to Iran.
I agree with everything that you've said, Alan. I think that one should look at this in terms of its historical context. Israel has over 250 nuclear warheads. It has the most sophisticated arms in the world. Iran doesn't have any of those things. How is Iran a threat to Israel? Look at the United States. The United States and its allies surround Iran. Iran was the country that was invaded by Saddam Hussein using prohibited chemical weapons that were given to him by the West.
Americans forget that lies long in Iranian memories. On the other hand, to your question, how is Iran a threat to Israel? Well, its proxies are. They have missiles, which presumably, if Tehran were to approve, could do untold damage to at least northern Israel.
You're absolutely correct that in my opinion, Iran has total control, or nearly total control, on Hezbollah. Iran developed Hezbollah during the Iran-Iraq war as the only way that it could, in fact, defend itself, Alan. And so all of these things should be seen in historical context. I totally agree that, yes, Hezbollah is a threat, but again, it's not that big a threat. It's not an existential threat. It's a threat. You're absolutely correct, but it's not existential.
You know, there are some in Washington, and I've talked about this on the air before, that historically think it makes sense for Persia, for Iran and the United States to be allies. It makes historical sense, except that the inconvenience of the Islamic Revolution, the mullahs, others in part who derive their power from being anti-U.S. And so what might make sense historically doesn't make sense now.
Alan, I agree with you. It's interesting that we agree on everything, but we don't exactly get to the same conclusion. I think when you look at this historically, yes, it made sense. It even makes sense today, because if Israel looks back at its past, and even at its present, many of the leaders of Israel were born in Iran. Israel has synagogues, and it is open to other religions. In Saudi Arabia, no other religion besides the Sunni branch is allowed.
Yes. That's an important point. There are religious minorities in the Iranian parliament.
But in Saudi Arabia, it's totally hostile, and I think the United States is making a terrible mistake right now because it is supporting the Saudi wishes and Emirati wishes and Israeli wishes, and they are, I think, in the end, going to make many, many enemies for themselves, because Mr. Trump will eventually go, whether it is after this election in 2020 or maybe 2024. But Iran will always be there, and I think what they're doing is a mistake that is going to result in more and more conflict in the future.
But would you not also agree, I guess we're agreeing too much today, except, as you said, maybe on conclusions, but the notion that the Bush administration and Cheney and Colin Powell before the UN, the world saw what seemed to be evidence of Iraqi complicity, was not. And at least at the time, Colin Powell and some others had credibility in the world. There's no way that this administration is going to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to the Europeans, given that history and its own credibility, that in fact Iranians are responsible.
Again, I agree with you, but I would just add a footnote to that. I think if you look at recent polls that have been taken by American entities, show when they ask the people in the world who is the biggest threat to the world, you know, the United States yes. comes way on top, and Pakistan is way down as the second. So you can see that the way that the world now views the United States has changed. And I think history does come and bite you in the back when you've made such a mistake as we did in front of the UN.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said back rather than something else. But you, as one who goes back and forth between Europe and the United States, the Atlantic, and I always like to get your readout on psychological attitudes in Europe and populism and anti-immigrant and all the rest. You sense a change? Does it feel any different in an average French village or no?
Oh, I think there's been a very, very steady change. I think that the difference here is that the racism that we see in Europe and in France is against Arabs. And they really think all the worst things that you can imagine, they attribute to Arabs. It's not to Iranians. It's not to Hispanics. It's not to
Arabs.
You know, Africans. But it is to, you know, it is really towards Arabs. And it's becoming very, very strong. In fact, I heard from people that I respect. Two people have told me that it is possible they feel in the next election that Marine Le Pen's niece will become the president of France.
Do you believe that?
I think there's a chance. I think that what we have seen here, and we have some of this in the United States, with globalization, Alan, people, millions, half of the population of all of these countries were left behind. We all knew this was going to happen. We've done nothing about it. And now we have to deal with it, and we're attributing it all to immigration. And that is a big lie.
Well,
it is that people have been left behind.
Well, you as an international economist, and we all know that Ross Perot in some ways was an early weather vane on those shifting winds that middle America voted often for Republican conservatives, free market, and then Clinton was an avowed centrist and for all the international trade, but little was said about how it might hurt middle America or, in this case, many Europeans.
Absolutely, Alan. I think what we have in the United States, roughly since 1975, wage rates have been stagnant, real wage rates. And as you know, everybody knows, and you know, we don't have to discuss it, is that all the wealth that has been created has gone to less than 0.1% of the Americans, you know, who benefited.
Yes.
And now we've got a problem. They have the same thing in Europe.
Yeah. I will tell our listeners, I did not warn you that I was going to ask you this, but I just got to ask. So to you, as the international economist, international Middle East expert, how do you judge the Democratic presidential race? Is any candidate resonating with you?
Well, it's very, very, very difficult, Alan. I think the person that resonates with me is too young, is the mayor of Indiana.
Mayor Pete.
Yes, yeah. I think he's the most intelligent, he's the most open, and I think he's a breath of fresh air, but I don't think somehow he has a chance.
What about Joe Biden, since you're talking substantially to a Delaware audience?
I have got to. I'm sorry, Alan. You may never want to call me again. I am a big admirer of Joe Biden, but I think his time has gone by. It is too late, and I think that if he becomes the nominee, Mr. Trump will tear him apart on the way he treated Anita Hill, on the crime bill, and on the Iraq war.
Really? I'm surprised you were not assailing him on Middle East, but you just did on Iraq war. Okay.
Yes. Those three things, he'll be torn apart.
Well, who do you think, I mean, because, you know, it is about electability, and still a lot of Democrats think that Biden is the most electable, and right now the current polling in the early states shows Biden ahead of Trump, but of course, as we well know, that can change drastically. Who among the Dems, you already mentioned Mayor Pete, but who do you think would be the best challenger to Trump?
I think the best challenger to Trump, it's too early to tell, but if you force me to say someone, I, honest to God, would still probably come back to Mayor Buttigieg. I think he has a chance, or I would, you know, and I think that he can mature even during the election cycle, and he could be a challenge because I think he really is a, he's very adept politically, Alan. Mm-hmm. He's very quick on his feet. I've never seen a person so quick to be able to answer questions.
Well, I mean, would you say Kennedy-esque in a way with brains and fighting spirit?
Yes, I think Kennedy-esque, but with even more brains.
Yeah.
I think he has all of that, but I think he's a different league in terms of brains. I really believe that.
Okay, thank you so much for your two cents on our presidential race as well. All the best. Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Middle East expert Dr. Hussein Askari, Professor Emeritus of International Business and International Affairs, George Washington University, founder of Islamicity Indices, joining us live this summer. First of all, of course, on Iran, but we got to some of those political things as well.